Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie today. Ryan has left us. Hannah is back doing her whatever Hannah does.
She's an associate producer. She's doing associate producer things.
She is award-winning associate producer stuff. Brad, obviously, since you just heard, is still here with us today. Been talking about all kinds of stuff today. We've got less than an hour to squeeze in all the other stuff that we have. Hey, by the way, at 3 o'clock today on the roundtable, it's going to be fantastic. Former State Senator John Lamping is going to be here. Jeff Smith is going to be here. I'm sure Jane Duker is going to be with Mark. I didn't confirm who that other person was on the roundtable, but I think that's going to be. He's also got a really cool interview with the bass player for Dire Straits. So if you've enjoyed the music conversation that we had last hour, it will be much more professional with Mark when he's actually talking to a musician. So that will be fun. So what else is going on these days? Well, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on at the state capitol. I'm sure you've probably heard a little something about it, whether Hannah's Gen Z crew is talking about that or not. But wanted to kind of get some insight as to what's going on. So my state representative is State Representative Ron Hicks. And Ron, I appreciate you taking some time. I know it's a day off from session. You probably got a lot of stuff that you're trying to catch up on, ma'am. So I appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today on the Annie Fry Show.
Man, I got to be honest with you. After the week I've had up at the Capitol, I'm happy to be sitting on my couch with a dog hair filled sweatshirt instead of a suit and tie.
Man,
doing nothing
there
except speaking with your people.
I don't know that the past couple of weeks in recent memory, I don't know that I've seen a more contentious atmosphere through the media, at least, of what it looks like and on social media specifically that's been going on in Jeff City. Is that, from somebody who's in the middle of all this stuff, is that how it really is, or is that just how it's portrayed?
No, that's exactly how it is. I mean, for once, you know, the media is getting some of these things right, at least some of it. You know, it depends on what part of the media you want to listen to. But no, that's exactly what it is. You know, normally in the hallways here, there's a lot of, you know, hustle and bustle in the hallways of looking to what's going on. And right now it seems to be more of the people just peeking out their doorways, looking down the hallways to see what's going on. It's intense around there right now. It's kind of interesting.
It just seems that there is an awful lot of back and forth internally, more so than I've really seen. Is that limited to, is it just the Republicans doing that, or are the Democrats doing it as well?
I think the Democrats are being smart on this one. They're just sitting back and watching the Republican Party beat up on each other and explode. They're just sitting back laughing.
That's kind of funny considering we're doing the same thing in D.C. on the Republican side. We're watching the Democrats just beat each other up.
So, exactly. It's flipped, and we're doing the different in our state now. It's insane. I'm in my last session here, boy, and I got to tell you, on the way out the door, they're definitely giving me some fireworks. You know, every year it seems to be one thing. It leads up one bigger than the other. And this year, look at this, the redistricting map blowing up the building and a couple of opinions from one side of the building not matching with the majority. And, man, now it's just a storm.
So give me an idea from your perspective, because I know you actually submitted a 7-1 map that the House actually took up and considered your particular map. That isn't the one that they ended up going with. They went with the 6-2 map that they sent over to the Senate. But how does this situation sit right now? I know there's going to be more conversation happening Monday in the state Senate, but how do you see this as it sits right now?
Well, as it sits right now, everything is just throwing fuel onto the fire the way this is. You know, the 7-1 map that I proposed, of course, failed. There were 22 other members that voted along with myself. I did vote on my own legislation, despite what some people might hear of us voting on or not voting for a 7-1 map. But yes, I did propose a 7-1 map. It was voted down by the body, wasn't taken kindly, and so we moved on to the next best thing. And that's some of the misconception in the building. You know, the state representatives on the House side here, we take legislation, there's 163 of us or so, we take legislation and we try to build it and make it to the highest we can. My 7-1 map failed, so the next thing we have is a 6-2 map. We take it and further it as far as we can and send it off to the Senate. That's our job. That's what we do. That's how the system works. Now, the Senate then takes hold of our legislation, and they either kill it, they add to it, they subtract, they put amendments, they do all kinds of different things and tricks of the trade up there in the building, and they either give us a better piece of legislation back down to the House. After they pass it out, it comes back to us for our stamp of approval, or they lessen it. And I've seen it year in, year out. They send a piece of legislation over to the Senate that either becomes better or that becomes less. And that's their opportunity. That's their chance. So now they have the chance to – they're not happy, obviously. I mean, that's the whole thing, is they're calling our 6-2 map a rhino, 5-3 map, and other things like that. And to call 86 members of the General Assembly on the House side rhinos is just – sorry, but I just think that's insane, especially the Speaker of the House, you know. To me, this is just, someone pointing a finger, and people are just complaining, and it's just going to be a battle. That's all I can say, really. It's just going to be a battle.
I'm going to assume when you have all those all that finger pointing going on, especially from one chamber to the next, there's probably not breeding a lot of goodwill. And for a bill to get passed, it's going to have to pass both chambers, correct?
Correct.
So that's correct. Probably going to lead to some
chambers.
That's going to lead some ill will. And the one thing that I've seen in Jeff City is people don't forget. So when you call me something that I don't take kindly to, I tend to remember who you were and what you said.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sitting here in my last year of office, and I have to defend my name in the last year. And that's the funny part. Well, not really funny. The insane part of it on the other side there is I've been elected in two different districts in the state of Missouri. And if they really think Missouri voters are voting in rhinos, that's just insane to me. 86 different representatives from 86 different districts in this state. No way. Not going to happen. I can understand it if there was a group just sticking together, a small handful. But no, not the case. We need to stop this name calling. We need to listen to what Ronald Reagan said. Thou shalt not speak ill of other Republicans. And that commandment has been broken in the building.
That's definitely not where we sit today, at least not in Missouri. That is not where we're going forward with this. But so the map, the way it sits right now, the 6-2 map, is sitting over in the Senate. They're going to start discussing this again on Monday. What do you see happening on the Senate side moving forward with that particular map? Do you think they're going to amend it? Do you think they're going to vote it through? Like, what's the money leaning on right now?
I would say if we're going to be smart about this and do what we were elected to do, and that is represent the people of Missouri in all fashions here, no matter whether it's the last thing we want to do is disenfranchise people and their votes, okay? The gerrymandering thing, the whole Clean Missouri thing came out. We fought against that because it was And now look what we're doing here. So I feel, this is what I think in my personal opinion, the Senate is going to think about this. We're going to get a strong 6-2 map, and a 6-2 map should come out of the Senate. That's what I'm hoping for.
So do you think the current map that's there, do you think the Senate will adjust that map
a
little bit?
Okay. I really do. I feel that they will make that map either stronger, especially in the St. Charles County area. You know, that's where this fight all started, right there. It all started in the St. Charles County area. So I do think you're going to see some adjustments to fix the 6-2 map to appease some of the people in St. Charles County, maybe, in the surrounding areas. And get a map back, and then it's up to the House. I can't speak for other House members. Until we actually have a map, I'm not going to go bad-mouthing the map that comes from the Senate either, just like I don't feel they should have bad-mouthed the map that we sent to them. I mean, look at how it passed, 86 members. Do they think we would have gotten a 7-1 map? I mean, we tried. We got 23 members, and we only got 86 members on a 6-2 map. What did they want us to push?
How many different versions of a 7-1 map were pushed? I know of at least three that came up, but for different reasons went away, either didn't have the votes or were found to not be compliant. But we had multiple versions of a 7-1 map that got introduced in the House, did we not?
Well, there were multiple pieces, let's say amendments, okay? So the legislation was amendments. So there were multiple amendments filed on 7-1 maps. I mean, I just threw it away yesterday, leaving the office, a stack of 7-1 maps and amendments and stuff. There was multiple that were filed and looked into and drawn. This is not an easy process by all means. I almost wished we didn't have to deal with this and that there was some kind of a commission that did, just so that we could get back to the work that we're supposed to be doing there instead of this driving our party apart.
Do we have an over-under of when you think the Senate is actually going to finish a map?
I'm pretty much doing what everyone else is doing because of you can't really know what to believe right now in the building. You don't know who's telling the truth, honestly. So you just have to sit and wait what comes across. I don't know. I don't know the feeling on it, and I don't know what's coming over. I really don't.
We're talking with State Representative Ron Hicks. He is from District 102. He is terming out. This is his last year, so he's about ready to be done with all the fun and games that have been going on in Jeff City for his term of being elected there. So I wanted to talk to you at least. I know you've got a couple other bills that you have been working on, and one of those is House Bill 1655 that prohibits certain individuals from possessing a firearm due to domestic violence. And that seems to be a bill that's had some back and forth on it as well.
Yeah, a group got a hold of some, well, put it this way, a group got a hold of the legislation. This is the exact same piece of legislation I actually filed last year, too, and it didn't get the heat it's getting. It passed out of the most conservative committee in the House, which was general laws, and it deals with gun laws and domestic violence. Now, the way the bill is currently written, and it points out domestic violence or felonies and misdemeanors, I should say. Well, no one wants to take a gun away from someone for a misdemeanor. It needs to be a felony. So all I can say on this legislation, because we haven't vetted it yet, is, yes, I filed a piece of legislation, but the legislation is not finished. I filed this legislation so that we can work on this and come up with something on both sides of the aisle so that we can pass something that protects the men, women, and children of this state from domestic violence, which I know I say men, women, and children. We know it's mostly the women and children in this state that need protection, but I have had stories sent to me of men as well being abused. I mean, I'm not trying to take anyone's guns away from them at all. Believe me, I'm one of the highest rated members in that body by the NRA, and the last thing I'm going to do is frivolously take a gun away from someone. There is no way we're taking the firearms away from someone. I helped with SAPA. I voted for SAPA, and SAPA would actually protect any type of legislation we try to pass that would take a gun away from someone anyway. So the last thing I'm going to do is that. Does the legislation need work? Yes, but let me finish the work first, and then if you want to come at me for it, then come at me for it. But first give us a chance to go through the process and do what we need to do. If I go filing that legislation the way it is, I'm on their side of it. It needs to be pulled and struck.
Sounds like there's a lot of, I want to come critique the meal while it's still being cooked in the kitchen. Is that a fair comparison?
It's very fair. I mean, this whole year seems to be so far is what can we get ratings on or what can we add fuel to make the fire bigger? It's just crazy right now.
What do you think can happen or should happen to try and lower the temperature in Jeff City of Republicans attacking each other like this? Because I've noticed, especially this session, it started off this way, and it seems to get ramped up everywhere you go, at all levels, by the way, that all you have to do, like you said, you've had an A-plus rating from the NRA for the entire time that you've been there. All you have to do is disagree with one group one time. Take all the 7 years that you've been there before that, throw all that away, disagree with them one time, and you're a rhino. That just seems to be the go-to these days, that if we disagree with you, then you're a rhino. Like, we agree on 99% of things, but I disagree with you once, and therefore I'm not good enough to be called a rhino or to be called a Republican anymore.
That's exactly it. You hit the nail on the head right there. It is such an easy thing to do now. It is such an easy way out to call someone a rhino. It's caught on so fast, so quickly in our party that you name someone as a rhino, you label them. Yeah, it's going to catch some attention. Like this group, you know, you ask what's going to take to calm this all down. Honest to God, how about some honesty? How about let's step up and be men and women, and let's be the representation of this state like we're supposed to be, and talk like men and women to each other instead of using social media and other outlets to voice our gripes and complaints about one another. Let's sit down and talk. I've tried this. It didn't work, obviously, because then that night I saw my name all over social media. But I think if we could sit down and talk, I think we'd have, for one, we don't need the state seeing what we're doing. It makes us look terrible. I think we have been elected by individuals to go up there and do what they've asked us to do, even when they don't see or know what we're doing, to make the right decision on them. And we're not doing that right now. We need to sit down. We need to talk. We need to stay off social media, sit down behind closed doors, figure this out, and move on so we can finish off this session with the real things we need to do.
That's interesting that you would say sit down behind closed doors, because Brad and I were just talking off the air about that particular thing. What you've seen happen pretty much always in the past, especially same-party politics, not everybody's going to agree on everything. But we used to get together. We would talk through our disagreements. We'd talk through our agreements. We'd find out where we had equal footing. And then we would try to work through the things that we didn't agree on. And sometimes we would agree to disagree. But we would walk out from that onto the floor, so to speak, united in where we're going to go. I may not like it, you may not like it, but we've got a path forward. We're going to follow that path forward, and as a party, we're going to stay together. We're going to stay moving in the same direction. But it just feels like that's not what we're doing right now. And I'm curious if you see that fracture happening in relationships that used to be there in the House that are now fractured, and are you seeing them come apart that way?
Yes. I mean, I have relationships myself that I've seen fractured and probably will never be repaired. And not only this, you got to remember, this is a family deal. Yeah, we're the representatives, but our families are also involved in this. We have neighbors and friends and everything that live in these communities. And now there's a war going on, and it's hey, what's really going on, or this, that. I mean, there's representatives in that body not talking to each other right now.
Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes, especially on your day off. I know your district has gone through a ton this year these past few months. Tornadoes, plane crashes, just horrible things that have happened. We appreciate your service to the state of Missouri, appreciate your service to the country on top of that, and appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today for a little bit.
No, you're more than welcome. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate everything you guys do, and I'm actually looking forward. I heard you talk about your show later on. I'm looking forward to hear what everyone's got to say, and I'm looking forward to maybe Jane Duker maybe commenting on these officers that were wounded recently, too. I know how she is passionate for her officers in her city. So
we may disagree on a lot of policies, but when it comes to police, Jane seems in lockstep
She's
with
solid.
A lot of us. That's right. It's very good.
It shows that we can actually disagree and then still agree on certain issues, no matter what side of the aisle we sit on.
This is very true. That is Representative Ron Hicks from District 102, Missouri House of Representatives. Ron, thanks for taking the time. So we go from the ugliness that is the State House. I mean, we've talked about D.C. earlier and what's been going on there. So we've talked a little bit about the ugliness of what's going on in the State House. And we're going to talk next to Mike Swearingen. Mike is the president of the Fort Zumwalt School Board. And if there is a more toxic environment these days, I don't know what it is than school boards, man. God bless anybody who decided to serve on a school board, because that is World War III that is going on these days. Well, Fort Zumwalt is one of many school districts that are being sued by the Attorney General. So just want to find out from the president of the school board, how does that affect the school board? How does that move forward? And we'll get a little bit more detail on that. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie Fry today on The Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Annie Fry Show in a Friday broadcast. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie. You know, Brad, the cool thing about this show is you get talking for a little while, you get some conversations going, and all of a sudden you're like, it's over. Like, where did 3 hours go?
I've been marveling at that ever since I started here. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I just walked in here. Now it's time. We're done. Time to leave.
It's done. Like, how did that happen all of a sudden? It's funny. We started talking about all kinds of different subjects, and before long, you end up saying, well, this is all done, but I just wanted to plug again, Reardon's up after this. Great roundtable today. Jeff Smith, John Lamping is going to be on there. He's talking with the bass player of Dire Straits a little bit later on as well. So stick around when we get done here in a half hour. I can't believe there's only a half hour left in the show. Just boom, 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 and then we're done. So we talked with Representative Ron Hicks about the state capitol and what's going on there. And there is a ton of stuff going on with school boards. I don't know if there has been a time in my life where school boards have actually had more attention given to them than what they have right now. So Mike Swearingham is a guy who is the president of the Fort Zumwalt School Board. I've known Mike for a while and just wanted to kind of check in with him because there is a lawsuit that the attorney general has filed against many school districts around the state, Fort Zumwalt being one of them. So just wanted to kind of check in on that. Mike, how are you today?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks. Thanks for letting me come on.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the time and just kind of talking to us about this. Mike, by the way, just so you know, just announced last week, I believe, that he's not running for school board again, but he has decided he's going to run for state representative. Did I get that right?
Out of the frying pan and into the fire, Mike.
I was just about to say that. It's like after having the conversation with Representative Hicks and knowing that you've decided you're going to throw your hat in the ring for the newly drawn 64th seat out in St. Charles County, I'm like, man, as if the school board hasn't been enough of a crazy place to be these days, you decide you want to go jump in the middle of crazy, which seems to be Jeff City.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've been on the school board at Fort Zumwalt for 21 years. This is my 21st year of unpaid public service. And I will be the first to tell you that school board is really the best way to serve your community. And I absolutely love it. But like you said, too, it is kind of crazy right now. And a lot of it's because of COVID and the different things that we've had to do to kind of bring our kids together and try to keep them safe for the last 2 years from this COVID virus.
So you've been there for a really long time, and you've seen a lot of things transpire. From your vantage point, would you agree that it seems that parents over these past couple of years have taken a larger interest in their schools than they probably ever have?
Oh, I absolutely would. In fact, I'd like to say, Mike, that I was elected seven times because everyone in the public loved me, but I think maybe it was because they didn't know that I was actually on the ballot. But I think that this is absolutely going to be the year of the parent. And quite frankly, I'm excited about that. I think that it's important for our parents to be 100% involved in their children's lives. For years, we've begged and pleaded, parents, please communicate with your teachers. Teachers, please communicate with your parents. Let's be involved with the community. Let's somehow come together. And it's unfortunate because public school is just something that we expect our kids to do. They just go out, jump on the bus, and they go to school. And you trust the teachers. And I'll be the first to say that our teachers in the Fort Zumwalt School District are bar none better than, I'll put them up against anyone across this great state of Missouri. And I'll even go to as far as to say that they're probably better than most in the country. We have a great staff, great administration, and it's just unfortunate where we're at right now with the COVID and with the mandates and the different mitigations that we've had to endure.
Well, I know whenever you have school board elections, for the most part, you don't have a lot of information to find out about people that are running for the school board. And like you said, a lot of times it tends to be a name that I recognize or a name that I know, I'm going to vote for them. But over these past couple of years, parents have really gotten involved and they've woken up to be a part of this. And they've really wanted to find out what is going on. I know you and Tom Emmons, who's a fellow board member, you guys have kind of been the conservative voices on the Fort Zumwalt School Board. So I'm sure it puts you in a unique position being a conservative school board member who gets lambasted by parents who definitely aren't in favor of conservative school board members. And you get sued by the Attorney General of the state of Missouri. And just wanted to kind of get into a little bit more about what is that lawsuit about and how did it come about happening?
Well, first of all, Mike, let me say that along with Tom Emmons, we also have Craig Moore, who's on our board, and I want to give him some credit as well. There is it's been a 4-3 vote. Our board has been pretty fractured over the last 18 months in the way we decide to mitigate with COVID and with our students. And, what we're supposed to do as a board is vote our conscience, make sure that we vote the way we feel it's important and necessary. And then we're supposed to stand shoulder to shoulder as one voice to make sure that what was voted on is kind of the law of the land, if you will. And I know a lot of school boards are taking a lot of heat, even though they may not be a 7-0 vote. And I'm not here to badmouth my board members. I'm just saying that there are four of our board have different philosophies, and that's kind of where we're at. And as far as this lawsuit, we're looking at a legitimate lawsuit from the state attorney general. But it's not only the attorney general that's suing us. He is he's the vehicle for the lawsuit. But we have 5 or 6 family names on this lawsuit that have said, we don't want our kids masked. Please give us the option to make up our own mind and to do what we feel is best for our own kids.
So what is the next phase of this suit? Like, where does the school board sit in relation to this? And what do you have to do? Do you have to respond to the suit next? Or what's the next steps?
Well, we've been notified that there is a lawsuit that's pending. It has not been officially served as of yesterday was the last time I inquired.
Okay.
And so without it actually being served, there is no action for us to take. But once it's served, I believe we have 30 days to respond.
How have you seen – sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and what we're seeing now is and we need to probably outline the fact that we're not a mandated – We're not a universal mandate on our mask policy. We have a tiered mitigation strategy. And as today sits, we only have 4 schools that are over the 4% threshold that dictates the mask. Now we have a few others that are also masks that are coming down because it's a 10-day wait after you hit that 4% on the way down. So there are more schools that are masked, but it's not a universal mask mandate.
So what are you seeing from other school districts around the state that have gone through lawsuits like the ones that is possibly coming your way?
Well, it's going to be egregiously expensive. Financially, it's something that we need to really take a strong look at. I think that I've already heard from some teachers and staff that say, why are we spending money on a lawsuit when we're not having those good discussions about payroll? You know, what about the learning loss that we have had in our students over the last 2 years? We need to discuss those important topics as well. So I think that the lawsuit is, even though I admit I don't like personally the mandates for these masks, it doesn't matter what my personal opinion is. I don't like the fact that the Attorney General is spending taxpayer money to sue us, because we're going to have to spend taxpayer money to defend it.
So let me ask you this, because you've been on the school board for 21 years. Obviously, you've been elected a lot. You said 7 times, right? You would think you would have learned by now. You probably don't want to do this anymore. I'm just kidding.
But you're right.
So and you are. You and Tom Emmons are not running for re-election in the Fort Zumwalt School Board. I think there's, 150 candidates that have filed to run?
Real close. Board? There's 9 on the ballot in Fort Zumwalt, yeah.
And I think
there were 11 and 2 dropped out because they got better sense about them, I think. But there are 9 that are currently running for the board.
So let me let you know this, because I know there are a lot of people, by those numbers, that are looking at running for school board. What advice would you give somebody who's sitting out there right now and their name's on the line and they're talking about running? What advice would you give them for the best way to be successful at running a school board campaign? Because that's a different animal than a lot of other elections at federal and state levels.
You know, Mike, that's a great question. And unfortunately, right now, it's more important than ever to be on a school board, especially if you're a conservative-leaning person that has a certain commitment. And what we're seeing right now is, well, first of all, school boards are nonpartisan. The elections are nonpartisan. They're held in April. There is really nothing from a political standpoint that you need to be bringing to the table. Unfortunately, COVID has created a very divisive political stance, whether you agree in the mitigations, if you agree whether or not the mask and the efficacy of masks are good or bad, or it really doesn't matter. But when you're running a campaign for school board, my opinion is that you are completely honest, completely transparent, and that you run that with integrity. You don't want to slam anybody else. Don't talk about how bad the school board is, because quite frankly, they're going to be yelling at you and telling you how bad you are come April anyway, if you win. So it's all about making the connection and saying who you are, standing up for who you are, and then letting the public decide who they want to represent them at the board level.
Well, and it seems that these days you're going to have more people paying attention to school board elections than we have in a really long time. And I think that's positive. I think the more, like you said, and we saw it play out in Virginia in the gubernatorial race, parents are waking up to what's going on in their schools, and they're getting more involved than they ever have before. Sometimes you would wish they would bring down the temperature a little on the discussion that they're having. Like, we can disagree, and we don't have to be personal about it. We can talk about the issues and disagree that way. But it's great that we're seeing parents, not just in the St. Louis area, but all around the country, who are taking an interest. And like you said, and like they said in the Virginia race, this really has become the year of the parent. The parent is re-engaging in education, and it's definitely needed.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's 532 school districts just in the state of Missouri and across the state. It doesn't matter what school district you're in. Unfortunately, we are facing some things that parents, I as a parent, and certainly as a grandparent now, don't want to see in the school libraries. There's books that are containing some pornographic illustrations. And, of course, you know, the different curriculum, the CRT and SEL language, and certainly the masking and mandates. And, you know, there are things that we want to see from a conservative side, regardless of who you are as an individual. We need to get back to the reading, writing, and arithmetic and the education of students. This country is falling way behind. And again, because of COVID, there's a lot of learning loss that hasn't been discussed. And for me, going to the state level is my next step. I've had a voice locally in the Fort Zumwalt schools for, like I said, 21 years. It's important for me now to take that voice to Jeff City and to represent not only the Northern St. Charles County and District 64, but the entire state of Missouri.
Well, before I let you get out of here, just with another minute or so remaining, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the superintendent changes that are going on in your area. Dr. Bernie DeBray has announced his retirement after over 40 years in the school district. How many has Bernie been superintendent?
Bernie's been with Fort Zumwalt for 42 years, 36 as superintendent.
Wow.
I, Mike, like yourself, am kind of an old guy.
Thanks for that.
Bernie was my superintendent when I graduated in 1986.
Wow.
So he's been around for a little bit. And I'll tell you what, I absolutely adore Bernie DeBray, his leadership, his tenacity, the willingness to let the buck stop with him. He led the school district through the 90s and the 2000s when O'Fallon was the fastest growing community in the state, and we were building buildings constantly. And I have grown to completely admire the gentleman. One of the last and most important duties that I've had as the school board president was helping to name his successor. So he's going to continue at the helm for one more school year after this. So he will be on board for the 22-23 school year. And then Dr. Paul Meyer will be taking over in the 23-24 school year.
Well, and then you have right up the street, the big news of the week is Dr. Curtis Kane in Wentzville has decided to resign, and he is headed out to Rockford School District.
Rockwood School District. Yeah, Rockwood is, I think that's a great place for Dr. Kane. I think he's going to do great things over there. And again, you know, if there's always a great seat on the bus for the right person. And I think Dr. Kane is well suited for Rockwood, and they're going to do really well under his leadership. He has done a lot of things as far as standardized testing. The kids do well, they grow, they are educated. And I know that he'll be happy over there. They'll be happy with him.
There is a lot of change going on in the area, that is for sure. That is Mike Swearingham. He is the president of the Fort Zumwalt School Board. He is also a candidate for state representative in the 64th district, correct? 64th?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Mike.
So there you go. Mike, I appreciate you taking the time and being on with us today. Good luck in all of your successes as you move forward. So we're going to put this bad boy to bed in just a little bit. There is a ton of places for you to engage if you want to engage. If you want to go talk to your state senator, your state rep, but we really hope that you pay attention to these school board races that are coming up in April. Your vote in April is more important than it's ever been before. And thank you for paying attention to that. It's the Annie Fry Show. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie today on 97.1 FM Talk.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It's funny when you start playing Simple Minds, right? Don't You Forget About Me. I was like, oh, that's a song from Valley Girl. I'm like, no. Ryan's like, no, it's Breakfast Club. I'm like, okay, sorry. I got my 80s movies.
I still don't even know what song you're talking about from earlier.
We'll play it later and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'm sure everybody else has already Googled it and figured it out.
Is that the Melt With You song?
Yeah.
So I'll Stop the World and Melt With You?
I'll Stop the World and Melt With You.
Well,
the world
I know the
and
song,
melt with you.
But I don't associate that with some movie. called Valley Girl.
Right. So the first time when we started this discussion, because you said you remember exactly where you were when you heard Blurred Lines, right?
That's right.
So I was like, well, the first time I remember hearing that song was in Valley Girl. So it was brand new in that I'll Stop the World and Melt With You was that song. The first time I saw it was there. And it's still being played, and it doesn't sound dated to me. Like, it still sounds like it was that new wave, we used to call it back in the 80s. New wave. You had your big Flock of Seagulls hair and all that stuff. You know, for me, I had hair, which was another point that I really miss about the 80s. But it was songs that stand the test of time. Blurred Lines? Not
by Robin Thicke.
Not so much.
And I'll Melt With You. Didn't. That's the only two we came up with.
No, it was just, that was my example of a movie song that...
We all know timeless songs, right? Like Blurred Lines. You know, like that was my way of appealing to the people.
When
like,
you think of those songs, this, right? Yes. I mean, that's what got him his raving success on The Masked Singer, right?
Well, I didn't even know I've never seen that show.
It's actually a pretty interesting show, but you need to tape it and not watch it live. So tape it. So very 80s, right? So you need to record it and then watch it on demand later when you can fast forward through the show.
That's what I was going to say, because it seems like you just want to hear a couple notes and then be like, oh, okay, that's somebody singing. I don't know who it is. Let's find out who it is.
But what's really interesting about that show, though, is people who show up and sing who completely suck, but they will show up and they will do like a show as this special guest who comes out, and they wheel them out in whatever outfit that they have on, and they'll have them sing. Now, some of the singers are legit and they're really good, and some of them you've kind of forgotten about, and you're like, I didn't really think about you. And then they sing, and you're like, holy crap, I don't know who this is, but they're good.
Wasn't T-Pain one of them? Like,
he was.
Like, everybody knows T-Pain, auto-tune, whatever, but this guy had an amazing voice, and he didn't need the auto-tune.
I don't know who T-Pain is.
I think, wasn't he the one who was the monster? He was that.
I couldn't tell you.
Anyway, they've had a number of people who have been on there. From divas, Gladys Knight was on the show. They've had country people they had Clint Black and Lisa Hartman Black, who did a character together. They were like snowbirds or snow owls is what they were together. They had one thing, I can't remember who they were, but they came out as like those Russian dolls. The ones that pull apart.
This is after I've stopped watching the show.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you have assured that I will never watch the show.
if you do watch the show, you fast forward through the majority of the show. I don't watch any of these shows like that, any of those type of shows, live. I just tape them, and then an hour show takes you about 10, 15 minutes to get through. You catch the highlights of it, and you're like, that was it. So I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but real quick, because I was talking about YouTube TV not having valleys, one of the things that it does have that I love is this feature where if you get into a game late, it's already going on, and you want to catch up, but you don't want to go all the way back to the beginning, it's got this feature that says watch key plays, and it gives you all of the key plays that has happened up until that point. I'm like, man, that's the way I want to watch some of these games, because a lot of games are just boring as they can
agree.
Be.
Agree.
You're like,
but it's to the point now where there's so many features like that that you almost feel dumb watching a game. You know, why am I watching this?
No.
I do.
Hey, all you had to do with the Chiefs game, watch the last 2 minutes of the game.
That's every college basketball
game.
That
is the 17 seconds of NFL football I've watched this year. That was the last 17 seconds of that game.
Patrick Mahomes threw for 177 yards in 2 minutes. That's insane. That was the championship game. That was it. I don't need a Super Bowl. That was my Super Bowl. Just give the Chiefs a trophy and I'm done. Hey, speaking of done, I'm done. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate every time I've come here. You guys are very welcoming. It was great to hang out with Hannah today. So being the associate producer extraordinaire, Annie will be back on Monday, I believe.
Yes, I also believe.
Mark Reardon Roundtable is coming up next. You do not want to miss that. My name is Mike Elam. It has been a joy sitting in on the Annie Fry Friday edition right here at 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.